Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome. If you would, please, as we continue in this pursuit of wisdom, turn to Proverbs chapter 2. And let's continue exploring the riches and the treasures of God's wisdom. Everybody's looking warm and cozy today. I love it. It's great. So we've been on this journey now for a few weeks, and I would want to begin by asking you, are you one of those people, or have you ever been the person that says, Lord, if you would just tell me what to do, I'll do it. Just tell me what to do. I'll do it. Tell me what I need to know, and let's go. And just, you know, it's a good desire. Well, if you've ever been that person, then you would love Proverbs chapter 2, because chapter 2 just says, here's what I want you to do so that you can find out what I want you to know. And then let's go. The challenge with that is, what happens if God shows us what to do, but we're like, that's a little more than I kind of thought you're going to ask of me. And so I have kind of thought about that a lot this week, and that's kind of the point of chapter 1. Chapter 1 began, and we've talked about our theme verse a lot, that if the beginning of knowledge starts with the fear of the Lord, okay, well, I need to figure that out. But then it contrasts by saying, hey, look, fools don't want wisdom. In fact, they despise it. They don't even want instruction. They don't want help. They're just kind of saying to God, look, I got this. You do your thing, and I've got this. And so right off the bat, we're like, yeah, okay, I don't want to be that guy. And so you could read that and think, well, if that's the theme verse for the rest of the book of Proverbs, then why wouldn't chapter 2 just immediately follow chapter 1, verse 7? Why did we spend the last 2 weeks looking at verses 8 through 33? I've kind of thought about that. But it's for the person that would say, well, okay, God, you showed me what to do, but I'm not sure that I really now want to do that. The rest of Proverbs chapter 1 has showed us what it's like to be a person who continuously despises God's wisdom and doesn't want to pursue the riches and treasures of thinking the way he thinks and being molded into his image. You remember 2 weeks ago, whenever we saw just the power of peer pressure and what it's like to just give in when everybody's saying, come with us, and to go after just worldly possessions for happiness? Well, that section in Proverbs 1 had a bad ending, didn't it? Well, then last week, as Ethan walked us through the next section of Proverbs 1, you know, it starts off so good. Wisdom's calling, and wisdom is raising her voice. She wants to be heard. She has something to say. And then she said, look, to the foolish person or the scorner or the simple, in verse 23 of chapter 1, wisdom said, turn at my rebuke, and I will pour my spirit out on you. Well, I mean, that's okay, let's go. But the rest of the chapter was just downhill from there. Just hear this for a second. Three becauses, verse 24. Because I've called and you refused. Verse 25, because you disdained all of my counsel. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. And so you see all the stuff in between, the distress, the anguish, the terror, everything. Wisdom is saying, look, you chose it, and I'll let you have it because you wouldn't have me. And so I have just looked back and thought, wow, chapter 1 is really an attention getter. For the reader, chapter 1 is like, hey, here's what it looks like to neglect this. So I've thought, man, maybe an appropriate response that we could all agree upon for Proverbs chapter 1 is, wow, I don't want that life. whether you're young or old or rich or poor, it doesn't matter. I don't want the fool's life. I don't want that ending to be my ending. So number two, okay, God, I really obviously need your wisdom. I want it. Give it to me. And God, and I've just kind of heard God this week saying, yeah, that's where I wanted you to get to. Cry out for it. You want it. It's here and it's available. So with that mindset, now we're all nodding our heads and we're like, okay, now let's go. Now let's bridge in to chapter two with this idea of, Lord, just show me what to do. I'll do it. Let's go. So if you would, in chapter two, please stand with me in reverence and honor for the reading of God's all-wise, holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word. Beginning in verse number one, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so patient in guiding us along in this journey. Let us all, myself very much included, give continuous evaluation to the areas of our life right now in light of the season of life that we're each in, to where we need wisdom, to where our dark, foolish ways of thinking sometimes begins to take over, and let us be a people crying out and receiving your wisdom. I thank you that you have called us to be much more than just responsible adults, but you've called us to have a passion for knowing the person of wisdom, your son Jesus. And so we ask that you would help us to think like him, speak like him, talk like him, and become like him, that we may live and love others the way he did. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's fascinating the way God just puts it out there. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. And it's, wisdom says, here you go. Go for it. There's those three big ifs. If. And then in the next section, there's two big thens, the second then being in verse number 9. But it's God's way of saying, look, I'm putting the ball in your hands. There's eight verbs in verses 1 through 4. And it's God's way of saying, I'm calling you to action. I'm calling you as an individual to put your hands to the plow and take the initiative. Be intentional. Get into the Word. And let me encourage us this morning with this. The aim isn't, well, how do I do this perfectly, so much as how do I do this consistently? Not so much perfectly, but consistently. Well, how much did you study the Bible last week? That's not really the question. Well, I studied 20 hours last week, but only 2 minutes this week. You know, like a roller coaster. God's calling is for us to make the pursuit of knowing him the most prized, valuable pursuit in our life, and everything else comes second to that. We don't want to get to heaven one day and to find that everything else that competed for your attention and my attention always came in first, and then if we had time for God, it was second. And so let's think about what this is not saying. You ever lost your car keys or a tool, or maybe you kids, you've lost a toy, and when you start looking for it, you know, you're kind of desperate, right? But there's no guarantee that you're going to find it. God's wisdom isn't like that. It wants to be found. It's actually crying out to be found, right? Have you ever known someone to go buy a lottery ticket and they scratch it off and they win, you know, a good little chunk of money? And you just said, wow, you really got lucky. It's just a hit or a miss, right? It's a big gamble. Thankfully, God's wisdom isn't like that. Or do you remember this guy? You grew up with this guy, didn't you? Old Jed Clampett, son, I loved him. I mean, he walks out one day and he's rabbit hunting and boom, he blows a hole in the ground and what comes up? Oil. I mean, changed his life, didn't it? Changed everything and made a really funny show. But thankfully, God's wisdom isn't just walking out and just, it's a hit or miss. It's a, maybe I'll find some treasures and maybe I won't. And so I said all that to encourage us with this idea of dig. I'm not a big acronym guy, but today I'm going to give you an acronym because I think it could be very inspiring to your study time. I think it'd be very memorable, especially for those of you with kids. And I think it could really help you and me to reiterate the how and the why behind why we're studying the Word of God individually and corporately. So I want you to think of wisdom like gold. If wisdom was gold and the gold was buried in your yard, then by tomorrow, your yard would look like it had been plowed with a traco, right? And just if all you had was a shovel, you would dig. The kids would dig. Your wife would dig. Your Hunter, your pregnant wife would be digging. Everybody would be digging. Allie, you'd be digging, right? Because there's gold out there. We got to find it. We got to get it. What if somebody else comes in the night? Well, what's awesome about God's wisdom is it's always available for you personally. It's always available for me personally. It wants to be found, but God says the shovel is in your hand. And the gold isn't out of reach. It's actually speaking. It isn't saying I'm way over here so much as it's saying I'm way down here. And what's fascinating is when you start scratching the surface of scriptures, you find a little bit. But what the text we just read said, look, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3 and 4, I want you to go deep. I want you to dig down. And so the tool for our digging is, of course, the Word of God. And so, you know, I told you to bring a shovel. So if you forgot a shovel, I grabbed a shovel at CM Supply. But I want you to think for a moment. If this shovel represented the Word of God, the tool, the resource that I need and you need to dig, what are some observations that you think some kiddos could make about this shovel? If they were looking at it, wouldn't they say, well, it's brand new. It's shiny. It looks good. But if this shovel could speak, wouldn't it say, I've spent most of my life just kind of hanging out on the shelf. I've spent most of my life just kind of hanging out, collecting dust, and just wanting someone to get a hold of me. But you know what it would say? It would also say, I'm available. I am ready. Someone grab a hold of me and put me in the hands of somebody that wants to dig because I am available to do some digging. But what about this shovel? If this second shovel could talk, it's my shovel prop. If this shovel could talk, would it tell a different story? If this shovel could just speak for a moment, wouldn't it say, you see that rust and you see those bends and those breaks? You see how I've been worn out? This shovel would say, look, the owner has put me to use. We've dug holes. We've planted bushes. We've found stuff in the backyard that hadn't been there for years, maybe even a few arrowheads. But this shovel would say, man, I have been put to use. We've found some gold. We have done some digging. So the goal today is kind of wherever you're at in your handling of the Word of God, the goal today isn't to beat someone over the head with a shovel, which Coach Snyder was a little worried I was going to do this morning, but hey, we're getting there. But the goal would be that we would be a church that's always inspiring people's pursuit of God. That we would be a church that's helping people to dig deeper and to go further with the Word of God. And that it would overflow into your marriage and into your home and into how you talk about God with your kiddos. And so we're going to make an acronym with the word DIG to encourage this. So let's say for the letter D. If God's wisdom is like gold, then D would tell us, desire the gold. In other words, the call to study God's word is not an exhaustive duty. It's rather a devoted desire. It comes with the attitude of, rather than I have to, I get to. Rather than, well, I hadn't read my Bible in a couple days. I really ought to. No. I want to. God has given me his word. And some people say, well, I just feel so guilty. I just feel so guilty. I haven't studied that much. Well, guilt is not the motivation in our text. Goodness is the motivation in our text. The text is saying, because God is so good, he wants Jed Clampett and everyone to strike oil, to find gold, to become rich in the wisdom of his word. He is a good, good father, and he wants to give and lead his children along. Can you hear Jesus? Can you hear Jesus for just a moment in Luke 9 saying, if anyone desires to come after me? I mean, who's that invitation to? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's a reality of putting a shovel in the hands of an individual, isn't there? That eventually we start digging, and what happens? Oh, my back's getting a little sore. Prop up for a minute. Take me a little break. Jesus paints this picture that when coming after him is your utmost desire, that there's going to be some backaches, there's going to be some blisters that will eventually become calluses along the way. There's going to be pain along the way, but you know what he says next? It's going to be worth it. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Why are you digging out there? And there's gold. There is gold to be found. So I find that whenever we look at verse number 1 of chapter 2, and this is kind of where we're going to camp out for a few minutes, because if verses 1 through 4 aren't applied, verses 5 through 22 don't even happen. They're obsolete. They don't even happen. Verse number 1, receive my words. Treasure my commands within you. Store it up. Hold on to it. Let it soak in. Let this be the desire of your heart. Verse 2. So that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Do you remember back in the 90s, maybe even the 80s, whenever you're turning on the radio and you're having to adjust the antenna, and then you're turning that little knob and the little orange thing is moving left and right? You remember how challenging that was? Yeah, especially, you know, if you had like two radio stations that you could pick up at your house as a kid. Yeah, something, you with me, right? And you had to tune in. You had to really listen closely to find just that one little spot to where it could pick up and you might could hear something cool. That's the idea of verse number 2, is that when we open up the Word of God, and we're saying, Lord, I'm struggling, or I'm seeking. He says, good, I have your attention. Is the phone laid to the side? Do I have your attention? Now, if the kids start screaming, go attend to the kids. But do I have your attention? Are you tuned in? Do I have your heart and your affections? Because that's what I'm really after. I don't want this to be a checklist for you. I don't want it to be, well, I was told that if I didn't read my Bible, I wouldn't get a sticker on the board. God wants the heart. In fact, he says, verse 3, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Literally, if you and I hit a place in life and we're digging and we're shoveling, and sometimes it seems like the more you study, the more the battle in your day and your week seems to get intense, doesn't it? It's okay if you say, Lord, I'm crying out. I'm really failing today. My attitude isn't, I can't believe the way I just spoke to my coworkers or my spouse or my children, maybe some of you grandparents for your grandchildren, and you're like, whoa, this is challenging. God can handle that cry. Can he? God, I'm down here about 3 feet deep in verse 3. And he says, I can handle you crying out to me. In fact, I long for you to cry out for me. In fact, verse 4 says to seek and search. And the wording there just grabs a hold of someone that's mining. It's a word that says, I'm digging and I'm not giving up. Isn't it interesting? I would grab the shovel again, but they would fall over. I already tried this. Isn't it interesting that when you get about 3 or 4 foot deep, you start hitting rocks and roots, and the ground gets so much more difficult, doesn't it? But verse number 4 is saying, look, this is going to be challenging along the way, because when I start asking you to evaluate how you speak to the very difficult person in your life, when I start asking you to evaluate, is that really appropriate to be watching on Netflix or is it not? When I start asking you to evaluate your time on social media or playing games or the way you think about that person, it gets personal, don't it? It's like hitting this big root or this big rock down there deep. But verse 4 is saying, whenever you get deep, don't give up because it gets hard. There's gold still there to be found. I want to give it to you, and I want to free you and to bless you with what's available. And so, man, if someone came to me or came to you and said, I have the desire, I see Proverbs chapter 1, and I realize this is tough, but I want this. What would you say? Here's how you get started. Well, we would have a lot of good answers, I think, for that. But if I could say a few things, because at age 19, I realized, man, I'm missing out. I'm miserable, and I'm missing out, and my life is out of control, and it's unstable, but hers isn't, and his isn't. And I started to get to know people. I think if I could answer that question for someone today, here or online or whatever, how do I get started? I would encourage that person, get plugged into the body of Christ. Don't go after this alone. Yes, have your alone time in the Word, seeking God's wisdom. But don't go after this alone. Let it become common for you to have discussions about what you're learning and what you're discovering with other people. Hear how they think and hear how they talk. That's the beauty of the body of Christ, because what happens is when people go after this by themselves, eventually they either fade out or they land at these really crazy beliefs and they start predicting the day, the minute, and the second, and the hour that Jesus is coming back and stuff like that. So go after this with the body of Christ. The second thing that I would say, now watch this, is I would ask anyone, get a Bible that you will want to carry. Get a Bible that you will want to take with you. Get a Bible that you will enjoy picking up time and time again. Now hear my heart here. I'm not against using your phone or an iPad or a computer to read your Bible. I got like 7 Bible apps on my phone. They're awesome. They're super helpful tools. But the caution that I would throw out there is those notifications pop up, you know? Is that not kind of distracting to y'all? Anybody else in the house? Okay, those notifications pop up and it's like, oh, let me reply back to this real quick. Okay, I'm back, Lord. I'm back. Oh, shoot. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Anybody else? And so it can be a little distracting. This thing has an unlimited battery life. It's alive. It don't ever go dead. You can read it with your hands in your pocket when it's cold outside. But here's the big idea. Your mind takes photographic pictures when you read. I love to show people different verses in the Bible. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 is in the top left corner of the left page in my Bible. John chapter 20 is in the bottom right side of the left page in my Bible. Luke chapter 9 is on the middle right side of the right page in my Bible. Your mind, while you're reading, studying, takes photographic pictures, become familiar with your Bible. This is a New King James Nelson Study Bible. I love it. Some of you got a keyword study Bible that you love. And so it's great. Ask people, hey, what Bible do you use and why do you love it? Thirdly, I would say grab a journal or a notebook. Grab a pen and a pad or a journal and a notebook. And as God is speaking to you, you're digging, you're searching. When you get to verse 5, and the Word of God says, then, and you're like, whoa, that was for me. That I just heard heaven speak into my situation at school or at work. I just heard Him reveal something to me. Man, if you write that down, whether it's maybe you like to draw pictures and write notes in your Bible, do your thing. Whether you want to do it in a notebook, but jotting it down helps you to, really, you're recording that golden nugget that God just revealed to you. And I think, fourthly, I would encourage anyone and everyone to do this. Find a time that works for you consistently. Find a time that works for you consistently. We're not just trying to store up bulks of information so that we can win arguments and intimidate people. We're always trying to get to the application, but the application and the information will never happen if there's not a consistency in going after it. Find a time that works for you. It may be early, it may be late. For me in college, it was my lunchtime. I found the most secluded little place on App State's campus, and I didn't want anybody to ever have lunch with me. I'm feasting, you know what I mean? I just want to read because I realize I'm so behind. And it wasn't really that so much as it was. I realized that other churches had sent out individuals my age that were equipped with the Word of God, and I wanted to know it like they knew it. And so with that, this is what I would then want to do. I would want to encourage this morning all the tech-savvy people today. We're in the tech-savvy generation. And so, and I would do that this way. When I was in college, one of the men that was discipling me got me these two big honky-tonks here. I was like, really? I need all that? And so it's an interlinear Hebrew and Greek Bible and a Strong's Concordance. And here's what I mean, and here's how I would want to encourage you. If I opened up this big blue one to Proverbs chapter 1, it would look something like this. And it would say, and it's in King James, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. It reads right to left. It's Hebrew. Well, you see, I've got the word hide highlighted. And if I'm reading the Word of God and I'm like, hide, where a lot of people can sometimes miss the context of the verse, is they might immediately turn to an English dictionary. Why is the Bible telling me to hide God's word away within me? Because the word hide in English means to put it up so that it can't be found, so that it can't be discovered. That's why we play hide and seek. The winner is the one that can't be found. Why would God want me to put his word away so that no one, even myself, can find it? And so you look at the word hide and you go above it, and there's a little number there, 6845. So then you pick up this other big Strong's Concordance and you turn to 6845 in the Hebrew section, and it says safan. And it begins to tell you, here's all the different ways this word is used, and here's what it means. It means to store it up. It means to put it on the shelf so that it can be accessed. It means to lay it up so that you can retrieve it whenever you need it. Well, some wonderful group of people several years ago took these two books and so much more, and they said, let's just put that on an app and on the internet for all you tech-savvy people, and let's make it free. So I would encourage you to check out, if you never have today, I felt like, man, I'm withholding something good from this text if I don't encourage our younger generation, especially with the Blue Letter Bible app or blueletterbible.org. And so here's what's cool. When you go to this website and you look up the Proverbs chapter 2, then you click on
interlinear concordance. It pulls up the verse. It pulls up the Hebrew and the Greek. For my KJV only friends, it uses the Textus Receptus. And so I'm not pulling stuff off the internet. I've heard that one before. And so, and then there's our word, hide. Hebrew word 6845, Safon. You click on that and it helps you to see all the different ways of what it says, which is way faster than using this, right? But here's something else that it does. It helps you to then see every single place in Scripture that that one word is ever, that Hebrew word is used, so that you can study and dig as much as you want to dig to say, God, I want to know what it is you're telling me to do, because you told me what to do, now I'm doing it. But now I want to know, how does it apply to my life? And so this is a familiar one. That same Hebrew word is used in Psalm 119, thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And it begins to open up, and God shows us that back then they didn't have banks and these big safes that most of you put your guns in, right? So they hid, or they stored up what was most valuable to them, because they didn't want someone to break in and steal it. And so now the text is saying, let this be your most valued possession. Let this be the source and the tool and the love of your life, so that as you read it, he's filling you up. He's storing up his goodness inside of you, because I don't want to be the fool. I don't want to get deceived and go down that path. And now we move to the letter I. If God's wisdom is like gold, then according to his word, we will inherit the gold. It's not a hit or miss. It's not a gamble. It's not a coin flip. It's yours. You will inherit the gold. Can you hear Jesus again in Luke 11 saying, look, ask and you will. Seek and you will. Knock and you, and it will be open. You're with me. This is straight from his mouth. This text is more than just a proverb. It's a promise. It is God's gold saying, I long for you to find me. And so I would ask the question, would it change your life if you inherited $10 million this week? Really, would it change your life if you inherited $10 million this week? Of course it would. We would all say, yeah, I would do this and do this and I would do this. That's the picture of verses 5 through 9. God is saying that whenever he reveals, whenever his understanding passes upon his people, when his people are finding knowledge of him and are becoming more acquainted with him and more intimate with him, then there's these moments where the way we begin to treat others in our lives, it starts shifting. And this is the application. And so many people stop at the information and they say, look, I'm going to win the arguments and I'm going to know everything and I'm going to prove them wrong. God's not called us to do that. Jesus just answered questions with questions most of the time, didn't he? And so the text then calls us to take the information and make it application so that there's spiritual transformation and our lives changes. More than if we inherited $10 million. That is the journey that we're on. So if you look at verse 7, and just if you highlight or just look closely at the word upright. Verse 7 says this, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. And maybe your Bible uses the word integrity. Were you born with integrity? I mean, really, think about this. Did you and I come out of the womb, man, just telling the truth and doing what was right all the time and saying yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you, ma'am, and just, or were we born with a natural bend to find the easy way to get away from to get away with something? To find it's like the get rich quickly scheme, right? If I could just find an easy way to get my work done and it's done, who cares how it was done, it's done. God is saying, look, I want what you're inheriting to always be personally changing you, straightening me up, but for the glory of God, not to just be the goody tissue responsible adult, right? This is to show him off so that others in your life would say, what got into you? And you're like, come and see. Come and see. I would be so excited to show you rather than just tell you. And then if we moved on, in which we should move on, we could then say this. If God's wisdom is like gold, then you will be guarded by the gold. God still has in mind what happened in chapter 1. You're his child. If you have trusted the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he looks after us with a father's heart. He wants to lead his children along. And when you look at verse 7, the Bible says that he is a shield and he guards. But when you move into verse number 10 and 11, it says this, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. Now, who he is becomes a part of who I am. Who he is becomes a part of our identity. The word preserve and the word keep right there in verse 11 means to guard. Now, as we go about our day to school, to work, or wherever, the wisdom that's too heavy to carry comes with us. The wisdom guards us. And it's so fascinating that this text begins to close by really focusing on two people. It's a man and a woman. Verse 12 says about the man, to deliver you from, notice the repetition of the word from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness. Verse 16, to deliver you from who? From the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Pause right there and let's put this together. The Bible points us to two people, a man and a woman. Both individuals were at one time on the path of wisdom. The man was on the path of uprightness. The woman had made a covenant with God. Both left the path. The tensity of the Proverbs chapter 2 is in what's called continuous action. God wants us to continually dig, to continually desire, so that we're continually inheriting, so that we're continually guarded by what he's feeding us for the different seasons of life. Isn't it interesting that the things that you struggle with today in 2022 are often so different than what you struggled with in 2019 and 16, or before you had kids, or before you got married, or before you entered middle school or high school. And so God has wisdom for every season to guard us from the man that tries to come away and look at how they're talking. The man is speaking perversely in verse 12. The woman is speaking with flattering words in verse 16. God looks into our future and he says, who is going to try to take my daughter? Who is going to try to take my son off of my path and down the path of darkness? I'm going to guard that person. If that person will just come after me for gold, I'm going to guard that person. And here's what he shows us. He shows us this, the fool can only offer me fool's gold. The foolish person that's deviated from his path has nothing valuable to offer but fool's gold. Why? Because when they started digging down the wrong path, they were despising the wisdom that was calling out to them. They were ignoring the wisdom that then began to rebuke them as they continued down that path. And here's what they found. According to Proverbs 2, they gained nothing. They found nothing. Fool's gold in God's eyes has no value. They have nothing to offer. If we can raise up a generation in this church that sees through the darkness in the world and just keeps going to the light of God's love and keeps coming back to the relational dimension that has so much to offer, wow, won't there be much to celebrate as a church? And so hear Jesus as we close. Say, look, what does it profit? What does it profit to a man if he gains the whole world, but himself is destroyed or lost? Jesus says, look, that's identify. If you know the real gold, you will identify. We will identify fool's gold, and we will experience the goodness of God in this life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask today that your word would stir an excitement within us. For the one who's kind of just put the Bible up on the shelf for a while, we thank you for grace. We pray that you'd be calling that one back to dive into your word and to dig into your word and to be surrounded by a people that just love you and love your word and want to know you that much more. Let this church be a place that offers that. For the family that just kind of got busy doing so many other things, Lord, let your word today be a refresh reminder to say, come back to me, come back to me. I have much to offer. Father, we ask that this church would be a church where your wisdom is given and shared and celebrated in the name of Jesus, the all-wise one. His name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.